If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me over to the book of John, the 14th chapter. We're going to be looking at a few things tonight. When I read these verses here, I see promises that God has made us. You know, there's... If Google's right, I know there's 66 Bibles and books of the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. There's 31,102 verses to the Bible, and out of all the chapters, the books, and the verses in the Bible, according to Google, I haven't counted them. There's 8,810 promises God made us. And we're going to look at 8,000 of them tonight. No, just kidding. We're just going to look at a few. But in the book of John, the 14th chapter, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him," I want you to listen real careful to this scripture here. "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Let's go to the word, Lord, in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we come to you rejoicing in our heart that you are the truth, you are the way, and the only way we can get to God is through you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation that you've given us. We want to thank you for our salvation. We know, Lord, that one day you are coming back for us. You tell us in your word that you're coming back. And Lord, I believe you're coming back for me. I know you are. Because I know I've accepted you as my personal Savior. And I know my name is written in the book of life. And I want to thank you for that. Now go with us as we go through the rest of this message tonight, dear Heavenly Father. May it glorify you. May everything that's said and done be said and done to glorify your name. And all these things I'll ask in your precious Son's name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look at these verses of Scripture, when you think about the promises that he made, you know, God can't lie. Everything in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, I even believe that when it says genuine leather on mine, I believe it's genuine leather. But there's not a word in this Bible, not the first word, that God didn't inspire, that God gave to man to write, and it was written on his authority. And so when we look at this, when this scripture tells us, Jesus himself is talking to his disciples. Now, in the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter, everything that was written in these two chapters was written in, or was talked about in the upper room that night. It was the Lord's Supper, and the 12 disciples was there. And God was talking, and the Lord was talking, Jesus was talking to them. And he was telling them. And, you know, over in Romans, the second chapter, it says, "For there is no respect of a person in God's eyes." You know, God does not have a respect of a person. So I truly believe, if you're a born-again Christian, that when he was talking to the apostles in that upper room that night, he was talking to us. what he told them is as good to us today as it was for them then. There's no respect of a person with him. So if he tells them one thing, he's telling it to us. And when he told them, in my Father's house are many mansions, you might think, well, he's just telling them there are many mansions. That's a promise he made to them. That's a promise he made to us, to you and I, that there's mansions up in heaven. Now he says he goes to prepare a place for them. But, so are we going to have a mansion? We don't know. Bible tells us, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what lieth in store for them that loveth the Lord, nor entered into the hearts of man. So, you know, all through the Bible, it talks about different things that's in heaven. Jesus himself is talking about what's in heaven. Over in the book of Revelations, when John ascended unto heaven, well, that hurt. When John ascended unto heaven, for you, those that you don't know, I've had shoulder surgery. So when I lift this arm, say, oh, that hurts, that hurts. But John, when he ascended into heaven, he was talking about things that was in heaven. He talked about the streets of gold. He talked about the walls of jasper. He talked about gates of pearl. Those things are there. It's written in the Bible. God said it. It's written there. Those things are there. So, in saying that, he's telling us what's there. So when you think back to the verse that eyes have not seen, look at all the things John's seen. Ears haven't heard. Look what all he's telling us in his word about what's there. So are we going to have a mansion in heaven? Well, I do believe that he's had, what, some 2,000 years in heaven to prepare a place for me. So if it's a mansion, it's a big one. It's taken him 2,000 years to prepare it because he hasn't come back for me yet. Because he tells them in his word here. He tells them, he says, that in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. It also says that if he goes to prepare a place for us, and he did, that he will come again. That tells me he's coming back. He's coming back for me. Now, it may be, I may be dead in the grave, and if he comes back, when he splits those eastern skies, when he appears on the cloud from glory, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ, it's going to rise first. And the Bible tells us that those who are alive and remain will then be called up to meet him. So if I'm dead, I get to go first. You know, I tell my mom quite often that she lives out in Arkansas. I said, Mom, if Christ comes back while we're alive, I'm going first. And she says, how you figure that, son? I says, I'm further east than you are. He's coming in the eastern sky. You know, so, but the promises that he's made me, that he's made you, that he's made every one of his children, you know, that's a promise that he's coming back for us. You know, I admire our pastor. And I'm gonna be honest with you. This morning, he is sitting up here after, or was it that? Yeah, no, it was before church, and I come up to talk to him. And when I prepare a message, I like to give him my notes. Mm-hmm. You know. So if he thinks there's anything in there, of course, it's all scripture. I'll hold it up and let you see my notes. It's scriptures, is all it is. It's no faults. I asked him, or he says, I'm probably not going to be here tonight. And I went, thank you, Lord. Do y'all know how hard it is to follow him? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When he asked me to preach, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, yeah, I get to preach. Oh, no, I got to follow him. You know, it's hard. He's one of the greatest preachers. I loved to sit and hear this man preach. He preaches strictly Bible. You know, and you can't get no better preaching than what we got here. He's great. But then, so I'm feeling pretty good. He's not going to be here tonight. So I was talking to him this afternoon on the phone, and he says, "Brother, I'm going to be watching you." I thought, oh, here we go again. The pressure I'm under. But it's God. You know, this is scripture out of God's word. So I'm not trying to compete with him. I'm just trying to fill in for him. But these promises that God has made us, you know, when we think back about them, you know, one of the biggest things I think about, and I love to talk about, and I love to preach on, is the birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ, and the second coming of Christ. You preach those things, and you preach it out of the Bible, you can't go wrong. You know, I was reading something the other day, and I read that churches that doesn't preach the birth, the death, the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, they might as well close their doors and go on to the house. Because that's what the preacher told us this morning. It's up to us to go tell people. It's up to us to go inform people. You know, I love telling somebody what Christ has done for me. That he hung there on that cross. They drove spikes through his hands, through his feet. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him. They beat him. They spit up on him. He was almost unrecognizable to people. And he hung there. And he done that. And he done it for me. He done it for you. You know, and the plan of salvation is so easy. It's so simple that you can explain it to a child and they would understand it. And for the life of me, I don't understand why people don't understand that. Grown folks that don't understand the plan of salvation, don't understand what Christ done for them, what Christ is going to do for us. He done it, and he's going to come back, and look what he's going to do for us when he calls us home. Now, I'm going to read you words to a song. And this was actually what the message was supposed to be on tonight. That he's coming back for me, and we're going to get there in just a minute. But the words of this song, how many of you ever heard of the Galileans? It's a trio. Yeah. Well, one of their most favorite songs they sang was, "He's Coming Back Again, and I'm the Only Reason." And the words of this song says, "He's coming back again, and I'm the only reason. Like a groom, he'll be returning for his bride. Reservations has been made, I'll soon be going. I've a matching over on the other side. All the pain and shame they caused my blessed Savior. All the scars that marred the body of my Lord. All the miles between this earth and God's blue heaven couldn't keep him from returning back to earth. When he comes again, he will not need a manger. Earthly men will not be mocking his sweet name. Kings of kings and lords of lords, he'll be returning. With a great triumph, he'll be rapturing his saints." Now, when I had my wife print that out, I try to sing this from time to time. When I had my wife print that out, and I was trying to sing that, she says, "Are you singing or are you preaching?" I said, "Baby, I'm going to be trying to preach. I'm not singing." But anyhow, so when we look at these verses, We see promises that he made to us. I want you to look at Acts, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11. There's another promise. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come again, or come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." That's another promise that he's coming back to this earth. Here again, these words are inspired by God. When Luke wrote these, God inspired those words. And he made us a promise. Christ ascended unto heaven. But he promises he's coming back for us. What if we be alive? What if we be dead? He's coming back again for us. You know, over in the, and my wife tells me a lot of times that, honey, you got a lot of scripture there you're looking up. Well, I do. But I'm not going to use them all tonight, I don't think. Over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, if y'all turn there with me real quick, Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 29 through 31. Everybody got it? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and then shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power of great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other end. Did y'all catch that? He's coming back, folks. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for all that has accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, we're going to talk about these other verses in just a minute. If you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, let me tell you, you got a rude awakening coming. You're going to stand before God one day, and he's going to tell you, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, he's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." He's going to cast you into the lake of fire where you'll burn forever and ever and ever for an eternity. You know, we think 5 years is a long time. We think 10 years is a long time. Me and my wife be married 26 years on the 12th of this month. We think that's a long time. That's nothing compared to an eternity. Now, you make a choice. Choices are simple. You accept God as your personal Savior, and you can live an eternity in heaven with him. You can see those walls of jasper, those gates of pearls. You can walk down that street of gold, or you can reject him. And if you reject him, you're going to have an eternity in hell. Can't get no more plainer than that. Okay, just a couple more scriptures and then we'll close out. If you'll turn real quick over to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter. And I love these verses here. They're near and dear to my heart. Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord." Here's another promise. God's making us another promise. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us will give an account of himself to God." Can't you just imagine? Now, you know, I heard a preacher one time say that you can either do it now or you can either do it then. But you're going to kneel and you're going to confess to God that he's king, that he's God. Well, I don't like to try to disagree with preachers, but when I look at these scriptures, even me, as a Christian, on that day, I'm going to kneel and I'm going to confess that he's God, he's Lord of Lords, he's King of Kings, he's my Savior. I'm going to confess that to him. Now, a sinner, he's going to kneel too, and he's going to confess. But when he gets finished with all that, Christ is going to tell him. God's going to tell him, "Depart from me. Go away. I don't know you. You didn't believe in me on earth. You didn't accept me as Christ on earth. You didn't ask me to save you. Just go away. I'm going to cast you into hell." And so, I beg you, folks, if you know of anybody that's lost, especially a loved one, if you've got a loved one that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, don't you think it'd be easier now? Don't you think you ought to tell them about Christ? You say, "Well, bro, I can't talk to people about Christ." Let me ask, I don't want you to show me the hands, but how many of you in here can talk about sports to somebody, the men, or hunting? How many women in here can talk about a soap opera they watch? And I'm not saying that y'all watch soap operas, but if you do, or a talk show, Dr. Oz, how many of you can talk to somebody about that? I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's easier to talk about God than anything I know. Because now, if you ask me about God, if you ask me a question about the Bible, and I can't answer that question, I'll tell you. I don't know that answer. But give me just a little bit and I'll find out the answer for you. And then I'll get in my Bible and I'll start researching. And I'll find the answer. My son calls me all the time. I love Tuesday mornings at my house. My son calls me every Tuesday morning about 8:30, and he has to drive about 45 minutes from his home to where he works. And from the time I answer the phone to the time we get off the phone, we're talking about God. We're talking about what the Bible says. He's got questions. "Daddy, I got this question. I got this question. You know the answer. Can you find the answer? Will you call me back with the answer? Text me the answer." And I love that. It just makes me feel so good that he talks to me about God. You know, and just this last 2 weeks, in our Tuesday morning discussions, I've been talking to him about, "Well, son, when's the last time you set your family down and had devotions with them?" He says, "Well, Daddy, both my kids are saved." "Okay, that's great. But do you think they know everything? Son, I'm 65 years old, and I can't tell you a third what's in that Bible. I don't know it. I don't know a preacher that does. I don't know anybody that does. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. You know, do we study our Bible? Do we have that devotion? And this past Tuesday, he told me, Daddy, we've been having devotion. Megan, which is my granddaughter, she's got questions that I can't answer. Well, son, get in your Bible. They're there. The answers are there. All you got to do is study it. Look for them. And if you still can't find them, call me. I'll be glad. Or have her call me. I'll be glad to tell her. All right, last scripture that I want to use, and then we'll be closing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, and it goes almost with this. Let me get over there real quick. We're going to look at chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. And the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Here again, this verse of scripture, just that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that great? Can you just, the glory of God. You know, we ought to be praising God. We ought to be giving God the glory in everything we do. You know, if it wasn't for God, where would we be? You know, if it wasn't for his mercy and his grace, where would we be? He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. You know, Jesus, 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 what a wonderful name. A name above all others. Just glory to God. Let's all stand. I do want to say real quick, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know the Lord, and I love our pastor saying that from your heart to his, you can accept him. But if you want to talk to me after church, I'll be glad to stay and talk with you. This altar is open for anybody that would like to come and have a word of prayer. I'll be glad to pray with you. But if not, we're going to close. So let's all bow our heads. Our most gracious, loving Father, we come to you again just as humble as we know how. We come to you thanking you for the blessings that you bestow on us each and every day. We thank you for sending your son to Calvary, for him shedding his blood so willfully for us. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels to take him down off that cross. He could have looked to your father and said, Father, I've had enough. Take me down. But he didn't. He's seen it through, dear my father. He shed his blood for our sins. He was the sacrifice, the last sacrifice that was ever going to be needed. And we thank you for that. We thank you for each and every person that's come out tonight. May they go away saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you for this time you've allowed me to fill your pulpit. And I ask you to bless our pastor. Heal his body, dear Father. that he might return to us. And all these things I'll ask in your precious son's name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're done.